No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Austin Eckler, and you're listening to Roster Watch. Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome back to the Top 10 Thoughts show from week one heading into week two of the NFL season. I am Cody Carpentier with you as always on this beautiful Monday, September 8th. Just a reminder to please click that like button. Please click subscribe if you're here on YouTube. If you're on podcast, please leave 5 stars. Reminder, we will be live with you here on the channel on YouTube Mondays, Tuesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. Monday is going to be the Top 10 Thoughts show that you're here for right now. Tuesday will be the Waiver Wire podcast. Friday will be the week two, week three, week four preview show. And then Sunday mornings will be the Start Sit live stream. You can also get all of our stuff over at rosterwatch.com in the pro and premium tool section. You can subscribe. You can click that QR code on the right side of the screen and head on over there and you can get everything. The touchdown dependency tools, the weekly snap counts, targets, and touches database, the matchup tool that comes out on Tuesday, the Vegas tool that comes out on Friday, and then Thursday, rankings day, the dynasty updates, the weekly ranking update, the flex rankings for the week update comes out, and then Saturday, of course, all the DFS tools that are dropped along with our player prop cheat sheet for week two. Appreciate you guys, and love you guys. Thank you for tapping in to Roster Watch Nation on a weekly, daily basis. You guys have helped us grow immensely this offseason. Let's jump into it. Top 10 thoughts from week one heading into week two. Number one, Breece Hall. He looks like an elite fantasy draft pick right now. Dominates the New York Jets running back touches 23-6 over Braylon Allen. Isaiah Davis did get a couple as well. And that was all while Justin Fields ended up with 12 rush attempts in this game for the New York Jets in a loss against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This game went back and forth throughout the entire thing. The Jets were up 19-10 at one point. They were up 26-17 at one point. They got down 31-26. They took a 32-31 late lead, and then they, of course, lost at the end. So it was really back and forth. And the fact that Breece Hall was able to still reel in 19 carries for over 100 yards, and he was targeted 4 times, and a guy that we know, especially in a game script where maybe they're down earlier in a game, we could see him get targeted even more. Very enlightening for a guy like Breece Hall, who, again, didn't even get to the end zone, but he looks elite. I mean, just off the hoof, he looks like a different football player. And I think it's going to be a big thing for the New York Jets as we go forward through the season. Big fans of, I should say, Breece Hall. The problem was that all the intel was sort of in favor of Braylon Allen getting more of the touches and the split through this entire situation. And when you looked at those backfield splits, again, it wasn't even really eerily close. Other notable thing is when you look at the strength of schedule tool, it does tighten up a little bit here for the New York Jets run game. Buffalo's a middling matchup, a better matchup than what Pittsburgh was in week one, but then he has Tampa and Miami on the road, which are not looking like fantastic matchups. But we do like Breece Hall because those matchups, even though they're tough, should pose some pass-catching opportunities, even though you have a quarterback like Justin Fields that isn't leaning into throwing to the running backs. He only targeted the running back, like I said, those four times to Breece Hall. The target consolidation in New York is very interesting. We'll talk about that here in a minute, though. Number two, the first coach fired in 2025 has to be Mike McDaniel. It just has to be. That performance was embarrassing by the Miami Dolphins going into Indianapolis in week one, when historically the Dolphins are one of the hottest teams in September. They just are. I mean, this is an offense that, especially under Mike McDaniel and the Shanahan system and all this stuff, like, you expect Miami, if ever, not to succeed really in December and January when the weather gets cold and whatever. You're in a dome on turf against a subpar offense or subpar defense in the Indianapolis Colts coming out of last season. And you can't establish any run game with a Devon Achane that looked healthy. I mean, he had a receiving touchdown in this game, had four targets, three catches. That touchdown came super late. Ran the ball well, averaged almost 8 yards per carry on his seven carries. He ran the ball five times. He had five rush attempts in the first half. Ended up the game with seven. Ollie Gordon had two. The entire running back room had nine carries in this football game. Now, they didn't get jumped like in the first quarter. It wasn't 20-0 in the first quarter. It was 3-0 at the end of the first quarter. Second quarter, they scored a couple of touchdowns. It's 20-0 as you go into halftime. Again, still very much a game that you can come back from. 20-0 going into halftime if you were the Miami Dolphins. But the problem is they couldn't establish anything. Nada. Zilch. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. These are the drive charts for the Miami Dolphins in this game. The opening drive was five plays, two plays with a fumble, eight plays with a punt, six plays with an interception, seven plays, turned the ball over on downs, nine plays to score a touchdown, end of the game. Interception, fumble, punt, interception, turnover on downs, touchdown, end of game for the Miami Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa did not look mentally there. Tua Tagovailoa, it was almost like he had zero trust and belief in his offensive line in this football game. The Colts ended up with three sacks, but I could look to the advanced metrics on PFF, and they probably, from a pressure standpoint, I would venture to bet that the Colts were at the top of this. I can't really find it really that quickly, but Kenny Moore had one of the highest pass rush grades of the weekend. He's actually third. That's really random. He's a nickelback. Neville Gallimore was up there in the top 10 as well. Leiatu Latu looked good. Grover Stewart's up here. Like, this is, so just to preface this whole show, I have not went back and watched all the All-22 yet. All I've done is watch all the games on Sunday. We've done a bunch of notes. I haven't even pulled up the PFF. I literally just pulled PFF up right now. What I do know is this Dolphins offensive line is one of the bottom three in the league. And honestly, I think the Houston offensive line, which I marked as the complete base bottom, I was like, this isn't even going to be close. This Dolphin offensive line looks worse. The Dolphins coming into the season, we had 31st, Houston 32. I mean, they're flip-flop. This is the Houston offensive line is the worst in football. And the Miami Dolphins, I'm not confident the Miami Dolphins are going to do much of anything this year. I think, Mike McDaniel, it's really messed up that, like the physicality, the pressure, like you can see Tyreek Hill is unhappy, right, being there. You can see him throwing tantrums on the sideline. I thought we'd get a little Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle game. Like, I know Tyreek Hill's been banged up, but the guy played the football game. He was targeted six times. Like, I don't get it. I don't get how you have a Hill, Waddle, and an Achane all playing the game, all targeted, all utilized, and nothing. I think this falls on Tua and this falls on McDaniel for lack of preparation. Tua doesn't look like he's 100% healthy or he's 100% mentally there. It's a multitude of things. I think Mike McDaniel is the first head coach fired. The next couple of games for the Dolphins are in division. They host the New England Patriots this next week, which should, again, be an advantage. Usually when New England goes down to Miami in September, it's an advantage. But usually Dolphins have an advantage in September anywhere they are because of just how they're built, especially indoors. So who knows what happens with that Patriot game. Buffalo in Buffalo, then they host the Jets. And then they have to go to Carolina, Chargers, Browns, Falcons. It's not the easiest run out. Some of those teams that even like the Carolina Panthers, probably the worst team I listed on there, still look like they could make this a game against the Dolphins, who suffer in all quadrants of the field right now against the Colts. We'll talk about the Colts here in a minute, but they got gashed in every quadrant. Every quadrant. Downfield, middle of the field, Pittman, Warren, run game, you name it. The Colts were gashing the Dolphins. Number three, Derrick Henry has 2,000 yards in his range of outcomes again. Again. The Ravens lost this game on Sunday Night Football, and I missed the fourth quarter, but I went back and watched it because I was flying home from Austin. And they're the first team in NFL. This is a stat I got off of X. I can't remember exactly who it was from. The Ravens are the first team in NFL history to score 40 points in a game and rush for 235 yards or more and lose. Previously, teams are 277-0. 277-0. Derrick Henry looks like, I don't really know if we've seen anything quite like this. I know Byron made a tweet on the Roster Watch account about comparing him to Adrian Peterson and being the running back of the generation, which I think is fair. I would argue that it's the next generation. I mean, it's the next decade. So I don't know if it's – I guess you could say generation, but it's the next decade. Adrian was the running back of that decade of the 10s, I would say the 2010s. 2020s, I would say, goes to Derrick. I mean, I don't know. They kind of go together, I guess. But Derrick Henry is something different. He usually doesn't start the season quite like this. Usually it's the softer. So we'll see. Daniel Falele, the right guard for the Baltimore Ravens, is a moose in the run game, but he's a complete, you know, not a zero. Not great in the pass game. So it's very interesting to see how they're going to use that dynamic. Falele is really good in the run game blocking, and that's going to, of course, help Derrick Henry. But, man, he had some real big hiccups in that game against Buffalo last night. Derrick Henry, though, I mean, he's not going anywhere. As long as he's healthy, he's not going anywhere. I mean, it feels like he's also keeps just, like, adding 5 pounds of body weight muscle, and he really isn't losing much of that speed. You saw him break away 2 long runs last night, and I was like, what? What is that? How? What is that? How? Why? Why do your legs do that? Why can you do that? But we got guys like, you know, Todd Gurley and Adrian Peterson lost his after a decade and Leonard Fournette and Zeke Elliott. And these guys just lose it. And the one thing you can point at, different than all of those guys, and Adrian Peterson trained like a mother, but those other guys I listed off, not quite in the weight room doing things that Derrick Henry is still doing to this day. Number four, Daniel Jones. I told you we were going to come back to the Colts. Daniel Jones is the kingmaker? Question mark. I mean, he should be able to make the Colts viable in fantasy football conversations. Jonathan Taylor got there for us. He didn't score a touchdown, but he got there for us. Had 3 catches for 27 yards, added 5.5 points in PPR in the receiving game. 18 carries, averages 4 yards per carry, looked better than that. And he also didn't carry the ball, I don't think, at all in the fourth quarter. It was all DJ Giddens. He had 12 carries. So if you combine those two, that's 30 carries for 112 yards. Not great, but they averaged almost 4 yards per carry. But then in that offense, it's Tyler Warren, the rookie from Penn State, 9 targets, 7 for 76. Again, Warren... I mean, there's a reason he's top five in Dynasty already at the tight end position. We knew what this guy was going to be. He is the, you know, Josh Downs is melted. Josh Downs is gone in this. I mean, this is the pit. Warren is now that guy. Warren is the dump down merchant, the guy that's underneath, the guy that's getting those targets, and I think that's what that's going to be. But he also got Michael Pittman there. Michael Pittman had a receiving touchdown this game, was targeted 8 times just behind Tyler Warren. Those are the two dudes that got all the targets, 17 of them combined. The rest of the guys, Alec Pierce had 3, Mitchell had 2, Downs had 3. They're just, you know, pieces to that offense. But it's Pittman, it's Warren, it's Taylor, and they can all get there because of Daniel Jones, who was 22 for 29 for 270 and a touchdown passing, adding in 26 yards on the ground and 2 rushing touchdowns. If this is what we're going to get from Daniel Jones, this Colts team is going to be good. And this AFC South is not that difficult. Titans, you know, they're going to be a 4-win, 5-win team. The Jags are going to compete to push for 10. We'll talk about those guys in a minute. And Houston's going to be right around that, probably that same area, 8, 9, 10. Why can't the Colts compete in that? This is what this division is going to be. And if Daniel Jones is playing like this, the Colts might be at the top. Number 5, 4 running backs in week 1 with 6 or more receptions. We did just miss out on James Cook hitting this on Sunday Night Football. He had 5 for 58 in that game. But 4 running backs with 6 or more receptions. Bijan Robinson starts off the day with an electric 50-yard touchdown. He finishes the day with 6 receptions for 100 yards and a touchdown. Dylan Sampson will be the surprise of the day in the receiving room. Dylan Sampson, 8 targets, 8 receptions, 64 yards for the Cleveland Browns. They had 4 players with 8 or more targets from Joe Flacco in a 16-17 loss against the Bengals. Harold Fannin led the team in targets with 9. The backfield and the situation for the Browns, Dylan Sampson had 52% of the snaps, and he had 20 touches in this game, 12 carries. The majority of those came in the third and fourth quarter. David Njoku outsnapped Harold Fannin 84% to 72%, ran 9 more routes, but Fannin was targeted 3 more times. And these stats are all according to PFF and their charting team. I know we're talking about Dylan Sampson here, but Sampson was very impressive, just the fact that he came out and was this involved in the offense early. And I think that as we see Quinshon Judkins come back next week and then the following week, it's going to completely neuter the Jerome Ford, Rocket Sanders, 9 carries, 11 yards, and 1 touchdown that Rocket Sanders plunged in for. It's going to completely neuter that. Probably take a little bit away from Dylan Sampson. People are going to run out and get Dylan Sampson, but the move I think will still be Quinshon, because Quinshon's going to take away all of the bulk of carries from Ford, Sanders, and Sampson. Sampson, though, is still obviously going to be a big part of this receiving game, and he has that trust off the rip from Joe Flacco as long as Flacco is in the lineup. Christian McCaffrey, was the calf healthy? 22 carries, says it was. 10 targets, leading the Niners by 3 over Ricky Pearsall, who added 108 yards by himself. Christian McCaffrey, 9 catches for 73 yards. So he had 31 touches, 32 opportunities in this football game. I'd say the calf was pretty healthy. Unfortunately, McCaffrey did not score for those in fantasy football conversations. He did end up with about 24 fantasy points, 24.2. So pretty good. And then finally, the last was Detroit's Jahmyr Gibbs, who, again, you look at the backfield split for carries, he was 11-9. Montgomery led Jahmyr Gibbs. This game was out of, you know, they were more in comeback mode the majority of this thing. It was 10-0 Packers, 17-3 Packers, 24-6. Ended up losing 27-13 in the game. I watched this one on the airplane. I had 2 different flights. And Jahmyr Gibbs was just peppered, and it was like nothing. It was 10 catches for 31 yards. And you're like, sure, I love the role. Like, Laporta got there. Monroe St. Brown was fine. Gibbs got there because of the targets and the receptions. But, man. Number 6. The real split backfield was the one I warned you about, and I kept pushing for, was Zach Charbonnet and to fade Ken Walker. I think this is going to stick better than it's not. It's not Los Angeles with, you know, Blake Corum and Kyron Williams. Kyron Williams took on 82% of the snaps in that backfield. It's not New York with the Jets, where Brees Hall dominated the touches like we talked about earlier, 23-6. It's the Seattle Seahawks, who played the Niners in a tight game for the majority. They were down 7-0. They got up 10-7, 10-10, 13-10 in the fourth. They lost 17-13 with a minute to go. So it's a very back-and-forth game, meaningful game. Only targets went to Ken Walker out of the backfield for running backs. But the carries out of the backfield, Ken Walker had 10 carries for 20 yards, averaging 2 yards per carry. Charbonnet had 12 for 47 and a rushing touchdown. The carries by the quarter, according to PFF, in the first three quarters, Charbonnet led 11 to 5 in carries. In the fourth quarter, Walker beat Charbonnet 5 to 1. Charbonnet had 29 snaps, 12 touches. Walker had 20 snaps, 13 touches.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
I'm not sure that the Seahawks are going to be able to control games to the point where you're going to get a 22-23 carry game out of either of these dudes. I think it's more so going to be just a pure split. So you're going to be banking on one of these guys having an explosive. The guy that's going to have the explosive is probably Ken Walker. And you got to have a touchdown. Otherwise, they're going to be fringe. They're going to be like running back 16 to 24 on any given week. The guy that is the best of the backfield, unless they score. Ken Walker had 3 receptions for 4 yards, which is a minute 3.4 points to add to his 20 rushing yards to give him a massive 5.4 point performance. The other backfield we talked about a lot this offseason was number 7. J.K. Dobbins outtouched R.J. Harvey 18-7 for the Denver Broncos as they beat the Tennessee Titans 20-8. They did not cover the 8.5. Dobbins had a 19-yard touchdown at the end of the game. Harvey had a 50-yard run in the middle of the game. Dobbins ended up 16 for 63 in a rushing touchdown. Harvey ended up 6 for 70, averaged almost 12 yards per carry. Dobbins averaged almost 4. Out of the backfield, Tyler Beatty had 6 targets, 2 for 16. Harvey had 1 catch out of the backfield. Dobbins had 2 for 5 yards. Dobbins led in snaps 40, 22 to 14. Routes 14 for Dobbins, 14 for Harvey, 11 for Beatty. Targets 2, 1, and 6, like I just said, and the carries were 16, 6, and 0. The Beatty thing, I think, is going to fizzle out. I mean, this is the Beatty thing has to fizzle out, in my opinion. He's going to get not six targets, I would say, in a consecutive game fashion. I think that the majority of those 14 routes or those 14 snaps are going to go to Harvey. We're going to see that number maybe end up being closer to like a let's keep Dobbins at his 40. Give some of that Beatty work to Harvey. Harvey gets up to the 28 category. It's 40 to 28, and it's, you know, 6-7 snaps for Beatty. I think that's probably where we're going to end up. Everything's going to be purely split from a route or from a snap perspective. The carries, though, is going to be solely dependent on what you do with your food, right? Can Dobbins continue to get opportunities to score, get the high-value touches? Will Harvey be able to finish that 50-yard run and not get caught and turn it into a 72-yard, 73-yard rushing touchdown? I think that goes a little bit further. He's gonna get there. He's gonna get there from that perspective, though. Denver's schedule, it was a super easy matchup in week 1 against the Tennessee Titans. It's middling the next 3 weeks with the Colts in Indianapolis, where the Miami Dolphins could not run for shit last week. The Chargers in Los Angeles, and the Bengals at home before they have to travel to Philadelphia. So it'll be interesting. We'll see what happens with the Denver Broncos. But Jaleel McLaughlin was a healthy scratch in that game. Number 8, is Justin Fields week 1 a mirage or not? And can Garrett Wilson sustain anywhere near a 40% target share for the season? And I know that is a maniacal question because I know 40% target shares are outlandish, but I don't think it's really out of the question. Again, he had a 41% target share in this game. 9 of the 22 attempts went to Garrett Wilson. 7 for 95 and a touchdown for Garrett Wilson in this game. 4 targets to Breece Hall, 3 to Josh Reynolds, 2 to Tyler Johnson, 2 to Jeremy Ruckert, and 1 to Mason Taylor. Garrett Wilson looks great. Justin Fields looked more accurate than we've ever seen in the history of Justin Fields. He added on 2 rushing touchdowns, 48 yards on the ground, 218 yards passing, and a touchdown with no interceptions. They lose 34-32. And I tend to want to believe in and just trust what Justin Fields is. But then there's this part of me that's like, it was against the team his old team. It is his old receiver. I did like the Garrett Wilson matchup against Jalen Ramsey more than most people did because, like I said on shows leading up, Ramsey has got a lot of clips this offseason against guys like DK Metcalf in practice and Ben Skowronek, who aren't the most agile route runners. They're more straight line, less agile guys. So that's something that, like, the tightness and the slowness of an older cornerback, it can be missed in those offseason clips and in practices. Do I trust Justin Fields is the question. I think you trust the accuracy. He was ripping some footballs that were more accurate than they usually are. The schedule for the Jets gets a little bit better. Pittsburgh was a brutal matchup on the matchup tool, so we tend to believe it's going to be fine. Buffalo's a little bit better of a matchup for him. Obviously, we just saw Baltimore score 40 on the Bills. Jackson had 70 yards on the ground, a rushing touchdown. Derrick Henry had a 170, 2 rushing touchdowns. Lamar was 14 for 19, 209 and 2. Obviously, you can tie lines to the similarity of play between Fields and Jackson to a certain extent. Then they get Tampa, Miami, and Dallas, who are all top 15 matchups on the strength of the schedule tool this season for projected fantasy point strength. I think we're going to get a good run out here for Justin Fields and Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. Will it last the season is the question. Will it last through the bye? Because the schedule is really nice, I would say, through Buffalo, Tampa, Miami, Dallas. Denver's a tougher matchup. It's at home. Denver's got to come across the country. Carolina, Cincinnati, juicy matchups, bye week, and then it gets hard. Then the weather changes. Halloween is here. You got Cleveland, New England, and Baltimore's defense back to back to back. then we'll see where they stand. But I think this Jets team looks promising. And Justin Fields looks like he can be a top 12 fantasy quarterback in 2025. And yes, I do think Garrett Wilson can sustain around a 35% target share for the season in this offense. When you're competing for targets with Josh Reynolds, Jeremy Ruckert, and Tyler Johnson, I believe that. Bill Kroski Merritt had to make an appearance on the show. What a guy. I mean, what a dude. Like he had 33% snap share, rushed the ball 10 times for 82 yards and a touchdown. Chris Rodriguez was a healthy scratch in this football game. And I'll be honest, man, I made a tweet before at the end of the first quarter on Sunday of the early games. And the tweet featured your first quarter donuts, right? First quarter donuts, guys that scored zero fantasy points in the first quarter of the first game of the year. Bill Kroski Merritt, Terry McLaurin, Jerry Jeudy, David Njoku, Caleb Johnson, Jalen Warren, Brian Thomas, Marvin Harrison Jr., Tank Bigsby, Jatavion Sanders, Emeka Egbuka, Kyle Pitts, Rashad White, Stephon Diggs. A number of those dudes scored touchdowns in the second and third quarters of the games. But Bill was on that list because they were more focused on throwing the football to Chris Moore and Noah Brown. Jalen Lane got a couple of targets. And Austin Ekeler was getting the carries than they were of getting Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, Bill, in the game. Bill ends up coming, I think it was fourth drive of the game. Bill came in, ripped one. Like the first carry was like 9 or 11 yards. Ripped another one. Then they get down to the 6-7 yard line. And he makes a beautiful cut on a multi misdirection carry and just prances in for a touchdown. And he just looks different. He looks like he's a different speed than Ekeler or Jeremy McNichols doing that backfield. I think the role, the size of that role is going to increase in week two, week three, week four for the Washington Commanders backfield. And Bill Kroski Merritt. Now, that schedule was juicy with the Giants. It's fine for the next month with the Packers middling matchup. Vegas is a middling matchup. Chargers are a middling matchup week five. Good matchups against Atlanta, Chicago, and Dallas in week 4, 6, and 7 before it tightens up again around Halloween with a couple of tough matchups going in and out of the bye week. So we're going to get a six-week run here with Bill Kroski Merritt. I think we're going to get more and more touches. I think we're going to get a 100-yard game or two out of Bill. As far as overall, he only had one target in this game, so nothing really out of the pass game for Kroski Merritt. What are we on? Number 9? Number 10? Number 10, Jackson Dart. Will Jackson Dart start against the New Orleans Saints on October 5th? That's my question. So we're talking about the Commanders, and on the other side was the Giants. And by far, I would say the worst quarterback game of the day had to be between Tua Tagovailoa or Russell Wilson. The difference is that somehow the Giants were in this game with like 8 minutes to go in the game. It was 14-6 for the longest time. Many opportunity for the Giants to do something and many a none fulfilled. 17-37 for Russell Wilson in this game. 17-37. If you were going to ask me which one of the quarterbacks in New York, Russ or Justin Fields, was going to have the more efficient day, it was you could have put a lot of money on Russell Wilson for being the most efficient quarterback between the two New York quarterbacks of the day, and I would have 100% taken that. Targeted Malik Nabers 12 times, 5 catches, 71 yards. I think the biggest takeaway from the Giants and the biggest positive is that Cam Scataboo, and I imagine tomorrow when Alex and Trashman do the waiver wire show, and I don't know if I'm going to join them or not, but when they do that show, I would bet a couple dollars Scataboo is going to be near the top because I know they both like a little bit of Scataboo. And this dude broke some tackles. I think they're gonna have to force Scataboo into this lineup a little bit more. Scataboo had 2 carries for minus 3 yards, 2 receptions for 12. Both of his receptions, I think he broke a total of 5 tackles. Tyrone Tracy averaged 2.4 per. Singletary averaged 3 per. Russ had 8 carries for 44. This offense needs juice. And I think the juice you can get is from getting Scadaboo more touches, bringing in Jackson Dart in one of the next few games, and being able to utilize Malik Nabers for what he is, because Russ can't do that right now. And I thought he could. And I also was not a believer in Scadaboo. They have Dallas this week in Dallas. Sunday night football at home against the Chiefs. They might get killed. It's also maybe just a fine spot. Just put Dart in there. Who cares? Chargers at home. And then the following week is at the Saints. I believe they should go. I believe Dart should be in before the Saints game, because then they have on Thursday night the Eagles. That following week, Broncos, Eagles again. I think you want to get him warmed up before that trio just smacks him in the face. There's no real great opportunity to put him in a game against the Eagles, Broncos, Eagles, Niners with Robert Saleh. Otherwise, that's a 4-week stretch of good defenses before week 10 is at the Bears. Then you have the Packers at home, at Lions, at Patriots. So you're thinking either he's in before week 5, or you have to pretty much push it down to probably week 12 or 13 for Jackson Dart. I don't want to make a rookie debut against any of those, but it's the New York Giants. So would anything shock me? No, unfortunately, for the New York Giants. Speaking of the Lions, I kind of wonder if they stink or if Green Bay is just elite, because that game, again, was simulcasting this one on the TV, on the airplane, on thankful to Delta. And the Packers killed the Lions, crushed them. Rashawn Gary had a sack and a half. Devontae Wyatt had a sack. Parsons had a sack. Van Ness had half a sack. This was dominance, pure dominance. And Josh Jacobs didn't even play that great of a game. He was fine. He rushed the ball well. I think Jacobs is going to be just fine. And there was no real big stat outlier in this one. It was, I guess, the play of the day probably goes to Isaac Tesla with that late touchdown. But this was a blitzing. This was a stat that I got off Twitter. Let me find who put this one out, because I want to make sure I give this to the right person. Sanja T. Jared Goff has had 5 different play callers in his career. Under the 3 not named Sean McVay and Ben Johnson, he's 0-19-1. When it's not McVay and Ben Johnson calling the plays, Jared Goff is 0-19-1. We'll see. That's Lion team. I mean, this is Dan Campbell's too good of a coach to let this keep swaying. But the Bears play tonight against the Vikings. The Lions get the Bears next week at home. Feels like a good spot. Then they have the Ravens on the road, Browns. We'll see. I mean, could this Lions team be 3-4 going into the bye week in week 8? Yes, they could be. They have to go to Baltimore, to Cincy, to Kansas City. They host Tampa, Cleveland, and the Bears. Not exactly the easiest run out. Couple other honorable mention thoughts. Kenny Gainwell looked like the best running back on the Steelers. The snaps were in favor of Jalen Warren. A lot of the short yardage, early down stuff, 24 snaps. Gainwell had 28 snaps. He was a starter. He was a third down merchant. Caleb Johnson didn't do jack. He had two snaps, period. Kenny Gainwell, though, looked like he fit the system, fit the backfield. He was the guy, and that shocked me. Other thoughts. Tony Pollard led all running backs in snaps, 89%. Jacobs, 88%. Achane, 88%. Ashton Jeanty in his rookie debut had 86%. Jeanty looks fine. He didn't look special. We sort of knew this was going to be a tougher start against a Vrabel defense. For what just happened to my schedule? I just had my stat board up and it just disappeared. 19 for 38, 2 yards per carry, had a rushing touchdown for Jeanty. Only 2 catches in the game. Not great, but he got all the snaps. It was getting his feet wet. Travion on their side was kind of equally as disappointing. He had 6 catches, but pretty disappointing. Kyron Williams, 82%, kind of in his territory. Chase Brown, only 75% of the snaps. Some flops from week 1 that I don't think will repeat in week 2. Calvin Ridley, 4.7 fantasy points. Nico Collins, 4 fantasy points. Terry McLaurin, 3.7.
Again, he hasn't practiced that much the last month. Ja'Marr Chase, 3.6. A.J. Brown with a 1.3 piece. And Devonta Smith with a 3.1 piece in week number two. Finally, we'll get out of here. I know we're running a little bit long, 35 minutes, but we're here for the people. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Make sure you go over to rosterwatch.com, become a pro or a premium member. The leading route runners from week one. I love this shit right here. I love this shit right here. The leading route runners, 50 routes. The breakout of Keon Coleman, baby. We talked about this. We talked about Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman was on the Roster Watch Ultimate Draft cheat sheet, especially the half and standard version. We love us some Keon Coleman. Last year, again, 57 targets, 29 receptions, 556 and 4 touchdowns. We talked about it. He had 22 first downs last year, a 43% success rate in the receiving game. What that means is he has a successful reception, gains at least 40% of the yards required on first down, 60% of the yards required on second down, and 100% on third and fourth. It's a denominator is targets. That is from Pro Football Reference. His success rate from last season versus week one was 43.9% up to 72.7%. His catch rate jumped from 51% to 72%. Again, I know it's a small, small sample. One game versus last year's 13 games. 11 targets, 8 for 112 and a touchdown. 6 first downs for Keon Coleman. A lot of it came back, came in the end of the game and the comeback part of it. But Keon Coleman breakout, he's here. So shut up if you don't like him. Keon Coleman's here to stay. Number two in routes run was Juwan Johnson. 8 receptions on 11 targets for 76 yards. Casey Washington in Atlanta. Man, they really need like a Tyreek Hill. They need something to boost this the receiving room. When you're watching them come back with Michael Penix, that's Casey Washington and Kadarius Hodge getting targets. It kind of makes your nuts hurt. Jerry Jeudy had 46 routes as well. Cedric Tillman had 46 routes. Khalil Shakir had 46 routes. Rashid Shaheed had 46 routes. He was targeted 9 times, had 6 for 33. That should bump. We'll see what happens with Chris Olave. Chris Olave got banged up in that game. Hollywood Brown had 46 routes run as well. He had 14 targets in that game on Friday night. Here's the notable one. Ready? This is where you find the fish in the sea. Darius Slayton, 9th. 44 routes run, the same as Kayshon Boutte. This is the difference here. 44 routes run for Boutte, 44 routes run for Darius Slayton. 1 target, 0 receptions, 0 yards, 0 fantasy points for Darius Slayton. 8 targets, 6 receptions, 103 yards, 16.3 PPR fantasy points for Kayshon Boutte on 44 routes run. Surpassed Jameson Williams on the day, surpassed Malik Nabers on the day, Chris Olave, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Maybe, just maybe, it was always Boutte. And the Patriots never needed to get a Stephon Diggs. They just needed to trust in that 18-year-old breakout from LSU. We'll be right back.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.